Hi, I'm Otaku Lucifer, and on today's Rant 101, we'll be talking about Megalobox Season 2, Nomad. Let's go. Before I start, I want to thank the Spectacular Academy. I want to give a shout out to them, Spectacular Academy, and to my mentor, Spectacular, and to specifically my other mentor, who I've learned a lot from, Him500. Thank you so much. And I'm here partly because of you. Seriously. So thank you. So for the past week, I've been thinking about an anime that I saw called Megalobox 2, Nomad. For fans of the original Megalobox, this is the second season of Megalobox, and I think it might be the final season because I really don't think there would be any reason for it to continue. But I think this was a far superior season to the first season. If you've seen Megalobox 1, you know that Megalobox was an amazing journey. It was a story of a journey for the main protagonist by the name of Joe. Gearless Joe, he was known after the series or during the series. And Megalobox is a world of professional mechanical boxing. It's a world where the predominant sport in the series is megaloboxing, which is a mesh of traditional Western boxing mixed with instruments, exoskeletons called gears, where the fighters would wear these gears, and some of the gears were outside exoskeletons and others were integrated into the person's body as a gear. And these gears enhanced the fighter's natural abilities when it came to boxing. Megalobox in and of itself, season one, was extremely good, and to me a must watch for any fan of boxing or any fan of fighting or fighting style anime. If you ever saw the series Hajime no Ippo, right? It's similar to that in a journey. The only difference is Ippo was a high school kid who went from being a high school kid who was bullied on to being a professional fighter, and you know that series was 70 something episodes long. Whereas in this, Joe is an underground fighter, and he's not a child, he's not a kid, he's not a high schooler, he's already a grown man, and he's an underground fighter in the first series who starts off throwing fights, and he kind of builds his way into being the world champion in megaloboxing. You know, he literally had no name when he was an underground fighter, and as he began his journey to become a professional megalobox fighter, his name changed to Joe, and then Gearless Joe, so he could, you know, get a license to fight. That in and of itself, like I said before, was just an excellent 12 episodes of anime. But with season 2, Nomad, they pushed that boundary to a further extent, because now the journey becomes something less about validation and more about redemption. In the first series, it was all about, is Joe a legit fighter? Is he good enough to be the greatest fighter? You know, does the audience get and understand his need to be validated as one of the best fighters, if not the best fighter, a legendary fighter, as he's come to be known in the first series and in the second series? Whereas the second series is more about what happens after Joe falls from greatness, right? He was at the top and then he falls, and now he doesn't know what to do. It's 5 years later. All the kids that he and his coach, Nambu, were taken care of at the gym. The younger ones ended up in foster care, and the older ones are adults now. living their own lives and starting off their own journeys. And Joe has been gone for 5 years, and he's just a wanderer. He's become a wanderer where he's fallen. He lost a fight to a person by the name of Yu, who ironically enough was trained by his rival, Yuri, who he beat to become the champion. And now, you know, Lu, 5 years after fighting Lu, Joe lost that fight and is back in the underground boxing scene. But now he's just wandering around like a nomad, hence the title, and in search of himself. You know, he's lost so much. They lost the gym, he lost the kids, he lost his mentor, and now he's on this journey trying to regain who he is as a person and trying to validate himself. You know, he's trying to reconnect with who he is. And to aid him on this journey is his mentor, who is now haunting him. You know, in every fight that he has in the underground, his mentor is haunting him. So, you know, that's a nice aspect. And then the whole theme of returning back to home, returning back to the people that you love, I think it's excellent, because what happens is in the beginning of his journey back, you know, his journey to redemption, he meets a person named Chief who went through what he's going through, and he sees himself in Joe. And Chief is also a former professional boxer who's now fighting in the underground. And they fight each other, and you know, they kind of have this epiphany and this rivalry, and they become really good friends. And then Joe starts to train Chief for a match. And you know, Chief comes from this village of immigrants that Joe just happens across, and he stays with them. Actually, no, he doesn't happen across them. His bike gets stolen, and then, you know, he ends up staying with them and helping them out. But what happens is, in replacement of the sage character of his mentor, Nambu, Chief becomes that sage character because he's an older man, clearly, you know, pushing 50, if not already in his 50s, still fighting for a dream, you know. And now his dream is no longer to fight and become the champion, but to fight to sustain the people in his village that he loves. It should be said that it seems that Joe is wandering in a place that is probably Mexico, and because there's a lot of Spanish, a lot of Mexican Spanish, and a lot of culturalism, of Mexican culturalism embedded within the framework of this anime. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's the, you know, there's this the story of the hummingbird that's constantly talking to the traveler, that's embedded into the story. And there's the story of there's the little tales, the little anecdotes that's given. There are the little tales and the little anecdotes that are given at the end of every episode that refers back to what happened in the episode, but they're all in Spanish, and they're all beautiful quotes and comments. And you know, the one that kind of stuck in my head is something about what do you do when your messiah leaves you. Like it's crazy. And the other one about the, you know, the fool who shows all his cards isn't stupid. Like, really dope, impressionable sayings, you know. It all resonates with a certain sadness and a certain need to be forgiven, you know. I believe one of the reasons why Nomad is so good, especially in the first half of the last season, of the second season, is the fact that it deals with redemption, forgiveness, and coming back home. You know, what do you do to protect the ones that you love? You know, it starts with Chief, and it ends with Joe. And all the characters have their own personal reasons as to why they feel it necessary that they box and they stay in the arena and they stay in the ring. And with Joe, he learns that the same reason Chief fought is the same reason why he fights. And it's a beautiful relationship that these two men have as rivals and as friends. So I think the anime is worth watching just for that, for seeing the relationship for those two characters build. And then within it, in the second act or the second half of the series of the second season, Joe has to come to terms with Lou, right? Because Lou loses to another guy who is also looked upon as a living legend. Who is, his name is Mac, who is a former police officer turned boxer, turned pro boxer. And, you know, regardless of the fact that there is a component of you know, pharmaceutical and corporate greed, you know, embedded into that story with Mac, the persona of Mac is very similar to that of Chief, in the sense that what he does is for his family, what he does is for the people that he loves. And it builds to a certain point, because what happens is Lou, who is the person Joe lost against, who lost his bout with 5 years prior, loses to Mac, and Mac becomes the new heavyweight champion. And both Yuri and Lou go to Joe and ask him to fight on their behalf, in a sense, you know, because Joe gets challenged and by Mac, and Joe doesn't want to really fight, but then he ends up fighting. And you know, it's a great story in that sense as well. Not to mention the fact of the kids, right? All these kids have grown. One of them opens up his own ramen shop, which I love ramen. And another one, he becomes a sports writer. And another one, she basically takes Sachio's place and becomes like the gearhead. And she's figuring out how to the machines work. And then there's Sachio, who follows in Joe's footsteps and becomes a megalobox fighter. The problem is, there's real serious beef between Sachio and Joe, for obvious reasons, once you watch the anime, you know. But the fact that they have this relationship, and you realize that, you know, it is about, it's a lot about forgiveness. It's about, you know, being forgiven, forgiving other people, and learning how to forgive. You know, for Joe, he had to go through all these steps. He had to be forgiven, forgive, and learn how to, you know, learn about forgiveness and how to forgive. And then be forgiven by the people that he had harmed and the people that he felt he betrayed and let down. It's an awesome piece of anime art, in the direction, in the story, in the mood that it sets, the pace that it sets. Even the music is amazing. Music, it's lovely, because it puts you in this place of endearing sadness, right? And the journey of from being sad and being, having fallen from grace. And what do you do when you're down? You know, do you stay where you at, or do you rise above the crazy tides that are coming after you? What do you do? And in a sense, it's very inspiring to watch the humanity of Joe. You know, the difference between season 2 and season 1 is the fact that in season 1, it was about this meteoric rise to the top to become the best of the best, right? And it was that story, right? But in a lot of ways, what was lacking about season 1 was the fact that Joe was never really made into a real character, in the sense of getting to know who he was and what his real motivations were, right? It was, you know, he was this underground fighter. He came across this guy who believed in him. You know, it's the Rocky story. And then he becomes, you know, like this legend. But there was nothing to really say who Joe was and why what his motivations were and why he chose this life, right? And in part two, you start to realize that he's not a one-dimensional character. He has nuance to him, and he has these things that drive him and these things that motivate him. And a lot of it was not what he's telling people. You know, a lot of it is self-serving. But when you are a person who fights, you know, if you've ever stepped into a ring, you ever sparred with somebody, you've ever been any type of martial artist or a practitioner of fighting, you know that a lot of people have different reasons why they're driven to do these things. And we find those motivations somewhat in season two for Joe. And I think that's what makes it so much more fulfilling and more poignant than the first season. So, you know, I think just in general that, you know, whether you're a lover of fighting anime or not, I think the story of Megalobox Nomad, you know, season two Nomad, is the fact that it is so relevant and it kind of touches and it resonates with everyone on any basis. You know, people from anywhere can understand the emotions that are being, you know, shown in this piece of art. You know, they can understand sadness, they can understand loss, they can understand regret, they can understand wanting to be better than you were before, you know, and trying to redeem yourself in the eyes of people that you love that you may have failed. And I think that's what makes it so, so beautiful. So, you know, check this anime out and learn. The only thing I can say I didn't like about it was the fact of the way it ended, because, you know, I'm a big fan of really good stories, and, you know, as a writer, you know, I am not only a practitioner, but I am a student of the art of writing. And with this particular story, I expected the story to go one way, and it didn't go that way. If any of you out there are a fan of a movie by Will Ferrell called Stranger Than Fiction, you know there's a scene where Dustin Hoffman is reading the life of Will Ferrell, and he reads the end, and he's telling Emma Thompson, who's the author of Will Ferrell's life, it should end this way, because if it doesn't end this way, then it won't be great, right? And the way it was supposed to end for Dustin Hoffman was for it to be a brilliant piece of artwork that Will Ferrell had to die, and he doesn't. And that's the same thing with Megalobox. I expected someone to die. I expected someone to. I was expecting someone to pass. I was expecting either Joe or Mac or one of the other characters to pass, to make the tone of the entire season more fuller. In my opinion, it would have made it a 10. But that's just my opinion. Right now, it's a solid 8.5 to 9.5. And I think it rests really comfortably in that space, because it's just such a brilliant piece of artwork. It's just such a great, moody piece of anime. You know, there are light times. It's very much like life. There are light times, there are dark times, and there are times in the middle that are gray. And, you know, it's all about how the characters, especially Joe, how they navigate through those times. And for any person in general who just, you know, lives life, this is good anime. This is good sit down binge watch anime. And that's it. That's the end of my rant. So if you guys liked this content, like what I had to say, and you want to hear more, please leave comments down below. Follow, like, share. And also, please support my Patreon, and check out my website, www.otakulucifer.com, and check me on Instagram, where I post a whole bunch of anime memes for free on Otaku Lucifer 58. So Until next time, blessed, stay positive and peaceful and loving.